And taking up where we left off last Sabbath evening, looking there at that verse 28, Judges 16, verse 28, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Last Lord's Day evening, you recall, our first point was the shearing of Samson and how he revealed the secret of his great strength and how it left him powerless, left him without the presence of the Lord. And it was all because Samson had flirted with sin. The sin was in the form of Delilah, that wicked woman. And she saw to it that the symbol of his strength, the seven locks of his hair, was shorn. He was then brought into the temple of Dagon and placed between the two main pillars of that building. He asked a young lad who held him by the hand to lead him nearer to those pillars so that he could put one hand on the one and the other on the other pillar. I want this evening, after considering the shearing of Samson last week, I want to look tonight at the supplication of Samson. Samson seemed to be in an absolutely helpless and hopeless situation. There he stood between two pillars in the temple of Dagon, a man with his eyes gouged out. There he stood listening to the mocking Philistines as they made him sport. Then he does the only thing that he could do under those circumstances. Samson called on the name of the Lord. The Philistines praised their God. We noted that in our reading, how over and over again they gave praise to their God. In verse 23, our God had delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand, and when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God had delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And so while the people, the Philistines, praised their God for the capture of Samson, Samson now prays to his God, to the God of Israel, to the God who had chosen him to be Israel's deliverer. And now, near the end of his life, because he would not leave that temple alive, now he stands between those two pillars, and as we said, he did the only thing that he could do. He prayed to the God of heaven. I want to look at this prayer, the supplication of Samson. The first thing I notice is that Samson was forced to pray. He was forced to pray. What else could he do? Samson was a man who will always be known for his great strength. Mention it to any child in Sabbath school about Samson, and they will immediately tell you that Samson was known for his strength. But one thing Samson was not known for, Samson was not known for being a man of prayer. He was not known for being a man of prayer. In some regards, he was like Lot. If you read the life of Lot, you never read of Lot praying. If we only had the Genesis account of Lot, we would say Lot was not a saved man. But we go over into the New Testament and Peter tells us he was indeed a saved man. He was a righteous man. Yet we look at the life of Lot as recorded in Genesis, and you never read of Lot building an altar to the Lord, and you never read of Lot praying. He was not known to be a man of prayer. And you look at Samson. Samson was not known to be a man of prayer. In fact, in the Bible record of Samson, and we have just read that he judged Israel for 20 years, we find that there are only two records of Samson praying. There's only two prayers recorded in Scripture as offered by Samson. And on both occasions, and both of these prayers that were offered by him, they were offered in a time of desperation. Both occasions, he was forced to pray. You go back a chapter to Judges 15. Judges 15. Samson has just taken the jawbone of an ass, and he has with that jawbone slain 1,000 Philistines. And it came to pass, verse 17, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramath Lehi. Verse 18. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, that's the only other time you read about Samson praying, and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God cleave a hollow place in that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. So we can see there from chapter 15, and that verse 18, that Samson prayed when he was desperate for water. He was thirsty after fighting off and slaying 1,000 Philistines. It was then that he called on the Lord. And once again, the situation is even more desperate for Samson. Here he is in the temple of Dagon, and there are no options open to him. And we are told that he called on the name of the Lord again. Desperate situation. He was once again forced to pray. Yes, the Lord did say, call upon me in your day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 50 and verse 15. And thankfully that is true. But for Samson, it appears that that was the only time that he did call in the name of the Lord, was when he was in trouble. First of all, when he thirsted and was afraid to die of thirst and fall into the hands of the Philistine. And then the next time, when he stood there with his eyes gouged out between the two pillars, it was a situation of desperation again. The only two times we read about Samson praying. There are those whom the Lord recognized as men of prayer. Unfortunately, Samson wasn't one of them. In Job 42 and verse 8, the Lord said, "My servant Job shall pray for you." That was Job's so-called comforters. "My servant Job shall pray for you." He was recognized by the Lord as a man of prayer. Samuel was certainly recognized by God as a man of prayer. Turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, in the chapter 12, we know what took place in Samuel's life. How the elders one day came to Samuel and said, "We no longer want you to be our judge. We want a king to rule over us like the other nations." Samuel was a good man. Samuel was a godly man. But they wanted to be like others. And they were given Saul. And they soon realized their mistake. And so we read in 1 Samuel 12 and verse 19, "And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not." Not only did the Lord recognize Samuel as a man of prayer, the people recognized this was the man they had rejected. The people knew who to go to when they needed somebody to pray for them. They went straight to Samuel. "Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." They realized their mistake. But look at Samuel's answer. In verse 23, "Moreover, as for me," Samuel said, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you." That's the caliber of the man. He had been rejected. He had indeed been offended. He was greatly offended, because whenever they came to him and said they wanted a king instead of Samuel as judge, Samuel took the matter to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord told Samuel, "It's all right. They have not rejected you. They have rejected me," the Lord said. So the Lord gave Samuel some comfort. But you think of it. The people had just rejected Samuel for no other reason than they wanted a king like the other nations. Indeed, Samuel said to them, "Look at my life. Examine my life. Have I done anything that has offended you? Examine my life. And they couldn't find anything, of course. Samuel was offended, and yet he never stopped praying. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. You talk about a man who was like Christ. Samuel was one of those Christ-like individuals. Here is Samuel, he had been rejected, yet he continues to pray for those who had rejected him. Now look away to Calvary. And on the cross, Christ prays, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Job was recognized as a man of prayer. Samuel was recognized as a man of prayer. And of course we look to the dear Son of God, to the Lord Jesus, and we see him as a man of prayer. For in Luke 6 verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went up into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer. And yet we look at Samson, and he ruled and judged Israel for 20 years, and we have only got a recording of two prayers offered by him. He was not a man of prayer. Now we can ask ourselves, am I a Samson? Am I a Samuel? Or am I like the Savior? Here was Samson, and he was forced to pray. Forced into it. Let us take to heart the words of Paul. Romans 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, instant in prayer. Continuing, instant in prayer. We've quoted Spurgeon often. Spurgeon said that he never prayed for more than 15 minutes, but he said there were never 15 minutes in which he didn't pray. In other words, Spurgeon continued instant in prayer. He was in continual fellowship with the Lord through prayer. What else do we learn about Samson? He was not only forced to pray, there's nothing else for him to do, but he was also focused in prayer. No doubt if Samson had been more of a man of prayer, he would not have found himself in this situation. Because Samson, not being a man of prayer, was a man who, as we noted last week, flirted with sin. If Samson had been a man of prayer, he wouldn't have lived a life like that. He wouldn't have been fooling around with sin. He wouldn't have been flirting with sin. If he had been a man of prayer, prayer would have kept him from all of that. He would have been in constant fellowship with God. He would have been sensitive to sin. That's what prayer does. But unfortunately, that's not the way it was with Samson. And so he found himself in this situation. Now near the end of his rule as judge, he's forced to pray, and it's a focused prayer. Notice in this prayer he asks first of all to be remembered. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. O Lord God, remember me. You know, I was thinking about Samson when he uttered those words. Did Samson, because of the life he had lived, because of his flirting with sin, did he think that God had forgotten him? And because of his flirting with sin, it certainly appeared that he had forgotten God. Because he wasn't in fellowship with God. He wasn't in communion with the God of Israel. He wasn't on his knees before the throne of grace. He was lying in the lap of Delilah. And now he prays, O Lord God, remember me. Had Samson thought, God has forgotten me because the way I've lived, it's as if I have forgotten him. Jeremiah 2, verse 32. The Lord says, can a maid forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire? You say, that would be impossible. Could you imagine a bride coming to church to be married and she doesn't have on her wedding dress? Say, oh, I forgot to put it on. Well, that just would never happen. She would never forget to put on her attire. But then the Lord goes on to say, yet my people have forgotten me days without number. A bride would never forget to put on her attire, her wedding dress, and yet my people have forgotten me. Have forgotten me days without number. And so then it was obviously natural that Samson would cry out, O Lord God, remember me. Had he thought, the Lord has forgotten me. Because the way I have lived, it's as if I've forgotten him. Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 15. The same words come from the lips of Jeremiah. Not that he had found himself in the situation he was in because of sin in his life. Not at all. The very opposite. He was led down into a hole in the ground. He was kept as prisoner because he was faithful to the Lord. And in that hole in the ground, we read in verse 15 of Jeremiah 15, this is Jeremiah's prayer, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me, and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. I'm suffering for thy sake. But Lord, remember me. It would have been easy for people to have forgotten Jeremiah. But Jeremiah cries out, Lord, Lord, remember me. It's a cry of desperation. And while it was sin that got Samson into the situation he found himself in. And perhaps it had Perhaps God has forgotten me because of the way I've lived. Yet, when Samson cried, "O Lord God, remember me," it was the cry of desperation. Remember me. David also offered the same petition, saying in Psalm 106, verse 4, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Remember me, Lord, the way thou dost remember thy people." It was a cry of desperation. Have you ever cried out to the Lord like that? Have you ever cried out in your desperation, "Lord, remember me. Don't pass me by. Don't forget about me. Oh Lord, remember me. Look at me. Look toward me and see my plight." How much greater would it, the plight of Samson, have been had the Lord indeed forgotten him? If Samson had stood there in that temple of Dagon with his eyes gouged out and 3,000 Philistines mocking him and not a friend beside him other than a child holding his hand, how desperate his plight would have been had the Lord indeed forgotten him. You turn to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. And there we read in verse 14. Isaiah 49 and 14. "But Zion said, the Lord hath forgotten me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Sometimes you can feel that way. When things aren't going well, and everything seems to be against you, you say, "Oh, the Lord has forgotten me." But look at the next verse. "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." Boy, what a word that is. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. It is possible for a mother to forget her child. Yet the Lord says, "Yet will I not forget thee." And the next verse says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." So, when Samson prayed, "O Lord God, remember me," the Lord did remember him. In spite of the way Samson had been living of late, near the end of his life, the way he had been living, still the Lord hadn't forgotten him. A mother may forget her sucking child, but I will not forget you. Praise his name. Praise the Lord. He'll never forget us. And when it seems at time as though the Lord has forgotten, isn't that what David said? "The Lord hath forgotten to be gracious." That wasn't true. The Lord will never forget us. No matter how bleak the outlook, no matter how dark the night, no matter how fierce the storm, the Lord hasn't forgotten us. So in this prayer, he asked to be remembered. In this prayer, he asked to be restored. This is now leading up to Samson being given another chance, a second chance, if you like, a last chance. Samson cried to the Lord, saying, "Strengthen me, I pray thee." The great strength he had lost because of his flirting with sin, he wanted it restored. He wanted to be back where he was before, where he was able to slay all those Philistines, the enemy of Israel and the enemies of God. He wanted to be restored. He wanted to be back where he was before. Before he flirted with sin, and before he was shorn, and before his strength left him, and before the Lord withdrew his presence from him. He wanted to be restored. He prayed the Lord would give him back the strength he once had and used to be victorious over Israel's enemies. Sometimes wayward Christians need to be brought very low. Need to be brought very low before they look to the Lord to be restored. In my congregation over in Ulster, Newton Abbey, there was a man there, and he had got away from the Lord. And he took his son out one night to the ice bowl to skate. And as he went around the skating rink, he fell and broke his hip. He didn't realize it until he stood up, and then his leg went from under him. He was a driver, and so he needed to be able to drive. And he testified later that he thanked the Lord for that fall and for the breaking of his bone, because he was laid on his back and it caused him to look up. And he was restored to the Lord. And he's a committee man now in the church. And he's serving the Lord in a wonderful way. He had to be brought low before he looked to the Lord to be restored. Here's Samson. He was brought low. And in this prayer, he wanted to be restored. Strengthen me, O Lord. Give me back my strength that I once had. Reminds us of the prodigal, doesn't it? There was the prodigal son, as he's known. And he asked his father for all that belonged to him. And after a few days, he left the house and took all that belonged to him with him and went into a far country. Couldn't get far enough away from home. Far country. Spent all his living and all his money in riotous living. And he was brought low. And he worked on a farm and he fed swine. And he would fain have eaten the husks that he was feeding to the swine, because he had nothing. And then he thought about home. He was brought low, and then he thought about home. He wasn't thinking about home when he was splashing out his money. He thought about home and he was mingling there with the sows and the pigs. And we read He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. And he went home and he was restored. We know the story well. How the father saw him coming, saw him a great way off, and he ran, embraced him and kissed him. This my son was lost, but now he's found. And he was restored to the position in the home that he had before. But he had to be brought low. Samson had to be brought low. Before he looked to the Lord, before he prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, restore me, give me back my strength. And even at such a late hour, Samson, like the prodigal, wanted to return home. He wanted to return home to the father's house. You see, it's never too late to be restored to the Lord. It's never too late to be restored to our first love. Never, never too late. He not only prayed to be remembered and prayed to be restored, but he also asked for retribution. He said, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. He wanted to be restored. He wanted his strength restored to him again, because that strength that God had given to him by the Holy Spirit, he had used that strength to slay Israel's enemies, and he wanted that back again. That even in the last hours of his life, he could begin again. He could take up where he had left off. Even in the last hours of his life. The Philistines had given thanks to their god Dagon by putting out the two eyes of Samson. So Samson wanted revenge on these Dagon worshippers. In other words, Samson wanted to end his days in victory. He didn't want to end his days in defeat. And how sad it is for any professing believer to end their days in defeat. Believers who once lived for God and were out and out for the Lord, and then somewhere along the way they fell in love with the world and got away from God and were never restored, and died, spent their last days in defeat. Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and 10, you recall, spoke about Demas. And he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He had forsaken Paul in the work of God, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. You know, there's a great question mark over Demas. Demas the deserter. I wonder, did Demas ever come back to the Lord? We don't know. We'll have to wait till we get to heaven to find out. Indeed, you may take it a step further. Was Demas really a child of God? See, we don't know. Dr. DeWitt Talmadge, a great preacher in New York, many years ago. Dr. DeWitt Talmadge says the time that I am tempted to tell lies is at a funeral service. Because he talks about those whom he knows, who profess to know the Lord, and yet in their last days, they got away from God. Like Demas, they fell in love with this present evil world. And he says, I would love to be able to say good things about them in their last days. I'm tempted to tell lies. Of course he didn't. But he says that's the time he's most tempted to do so. He'd like to give them a good send-off. He'd like to say something good about them. But he knows otherwise. Did Demas ever come back to the Lord? Did the world ever lose its appeal for Demas? Or did he end his days in defeat? Did he end his days as a deserter in the cause of Christ? What a way to end. Well, here's Samson. And he didn't want to end his life in defeat. And he asked for strength again, that he might get revenge on these Philistines. Regarding this prayer, he was forced to pray. He was focused in prayer. And we notice it was his final prayer. Look at the words again of 28, verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. Lord, just this once. Because Samson knew his days were up. This would be the last prayer he would offer. Strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. He wanted to end his days with one last victory over the Philistines. How could he suffer to hear the name of a false god being praised? Samson wanted the God of Israel to be given the last victory, to have the last victory and to be victorious. So he prayed one last time. I suppose that's not bad. When you think of it, Samson died praying. It's not a bad way to go into the presence of the king, is it? Samson died praying. The Lord Jesus Christ died praying. The only difference being, Samson prayed for vengeance, while the Lord Jesus Christ in his death prayed for forgiveness. And amid the raucous behavior of the 3,000 Philistines, I'm sure no one heard Samson pray. As 3,000 Philistines made sport of Samson and laughed at him, no one would have heard him pray in that temple But God in heaven heard him pray. And he's the only one that matters. Samson was heard in heaven. And you know something? Samson was given a second chance. At this late hour, he was given a second chance. We've seen the shoring of Samson. We've seen the supplication of Samson. And now in the last place we have the slaying by Samson. What followed this prayer by Samson speaks to us, first of all, of the grace of God. Why would the Lord answer this prayer? Why would the Lord answer the prayer of a man who had in his life flirted with sin and got himself into so much trouble and done those things that were contrary to the law and the commandments of his God? Why did the Lord answer his prayer and give to him again his strength? Why? It can only be attributed to the grace of God. And we read in verse 29, "And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." The Lord gave Samson another chance. He gave John Mark a chance, a second chance. He gave Jonah a second chance. He gave Peter a second chance. He gave Abraham a second chance. He gave Elijah a second chance. He gave Simon Peter a second chance. And praise the Lord, he gave Samson a second chance. And it was all of grace, and all the men that he dealt with, in giving to them a second chance, all those we have considered that were given a second chance by the Lord, it was all attributed to the grace of God. Grace of God. No wonder the psalmist repeated those words over and over and over and over again in Psalm 136. Every verse in Psalm 136 concludes with the words, "His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." And God was merciful to Samson. And the Lord gave Samson a second chance, according to his grace. Never too late to be given a second chance. So we have here the grace of God. We have also the greatness of God. Here was the great power of Almighty God given to a man that he was able to pull down that temple with 3,000 Philistines there on the roof. You cannot attribute that to anything else but the mighty power of God. You know what that brings to mind? Brings to mind the words of the prophet. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." That's exactly what Samson did. He waited upon the Lord, albeit briefly, in that temple, not the best surroundings, but nevertheless the Lord heard his prayer. He waited upon the Lord, and his strength was renewed. And what kind of strength was it? It was the strength of Almighty God. God. And he pulled down that temple. And when we wait upon the Lord, our strength will be renewed. Whatever strength that has gone from us, if we wait upon the Lord, if we pray, our strength shall be renewed. I will not be able to pull down any kind of temple, but we'll be able to pull down, with God's help, the strongholds of Satan. And we'll be able to live a victorious life and overcome the devil. And we shall go forth, as we read in Revelation 6 and 2 of the Lord, going forth conquering and to conquer. So you have the grace of God, you have the greatness of God, and finally, the glory of God. God had accepted Samson's prayer and had obviously accepted Samson by restoring him and restoring his strength. And even though Samson died with the Philistines, I want to just mention something here in passing. This was not a suicide. Some people have used this and said, Samson committed suicide. No, he didn't. Samson was the enemy of the Philistines. Samson had been chosen to be Israel's deliverer. Samson had fought the Philistines all through his 20 years as judge of Israel. And it's just like a soldier going to war to fight the enemy, and he dies on the battlefield. You can't say that's suicide. He may die on the battlefield. Well, here Samson died on his battlefield. When he slew 3,000 Philistines. And who was given the glory? God was given the glory. Because it is written in the verse 30, at the end of the verse, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And to God be the glory. And we read then in the last verse, then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him, and I like those words, took him and brought him up. He may have been down in a very deep valley, in a deep pit as it were, but he ended his days on higher ground. They brought him up. Yeah, they brought his body up, but Christ brought his heart up, or the Lord brought Samson's heart up and brought his soul up and brought his life up. He finished his days on higher ground because God was pleased to give him a second chance. Praise his name. Let's bow in prayer. O Lord, our God and gracious Father, we again praise thee for thy word. These things are written for your learning. And O Lord, why we look at Samson and some parts of his life does not make great reading. Yet we thank thee that he finished well. And O Lord, so many have said, it's not how a man begins, it's how he finishes. Lord, may we all finish well. Keep us, Lord, from the world. Keep us following in the footsteps of Demas, who fell in love with the world. And O Lord God, keep us from being tempted to flirt with sin. And O Lord God, may we indeed give thee thanks for thy marvelous and matchless grace. For Lord, we may not get away from thee as Samson did, but nevertheless we experience the tokens of thy grace every day, every day, every day. Lord, write the word upon our hearts tonight. May we learn from it. And may we know it's never too late. to be restored to her first love, and never too late to be given a second chance. Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. Remember those who have a little further to go. Keep us safe, Lord, in our going out and coming in. Bless us throughout the remainder of this Lord's Day evening. Be with us, Lord, throughout this week. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.